Well, welcome everybody to this wonderful webcast that we've got going here with our special guest, David Melander. As you can see, Mark isn't with us tonight. Mark is in Poland, teaching a Father Heart school in Poland, and hear from him the really good reports that God's doing some amazing things. And I'm looking forward to this broadcast. It's for a couple of weeks now. I've really, really connected heart to heart with a dear friend, David Melander. And so David's going to be on in a second, and he's going to share his heart. And we're going to go free flow tonight. I've got some things in my heart that I'd like to ask David, just some questions. But then, you know, from there, we'll see where Papa leads us all. So with that, I'm just going to bring in our special guest, David Melander. Beaming in live from, was it Minneapolis?
Minneapolis, yes.
So, and it's good to have you. We just thank you so much for joining us tonight. And as I was sharing that, and of course I didn't mention yet on the webcast, but David and I have been connecting via email for probably a couple of years now. I would think maybe that. And he's just been such a huge source of encouragement for me in our daily blogs, and just strengthened me, and I think the Holy Spirit's nudged him sometimes when I've needed a word of encouragement. He was so generous to share with me his book that I've read. It's called The Culture of Heaven, and maybe David will talk a little bit more about that, but it's just awesome. And it was interesting because David's got a video series on YouTube called The Culture of Heaven, and when I watch the videos, there's something that happens when you see somebody, you hear their voice, right? There's something of the essence of them that is communicated that maybe the written word is not full enough to communicate the kind of the essence of their being. And so when I watched David on his YouTube series, it was like, there is just something in this. He's my brother, you know, and at a heart level. And I was really, so we ended up connecting on Zoom, and I just wanted to hear from David. I said, what's your story? How did you get connected into this revelation of the Father Heart of God? So I'll let David tell that, if you don't mind just sharing kind of that part of your story and who you are and what you do, and just for all the folks that are on.
Well, I'll start with where that revelation broke into us. And I know it's breaking in all over the world, but I'll just speak for me. I was dating somebody, not somebody I ended up marrying, but years ago. And I asked her, and as I felt led to ask her, what single message was the most important message that you ever heard? And she said, The Father Heart of God by Jack Winter. And the words just went, bam! It was like my heart exploded. I went, wow! And somehow I hadn't heard the message. I didn't have a connection at that point, but I just held it in my heart. I'm like, someday I'm going to hear that message. And my heart was hungry for years. And then my wife Audrey and I were in YWAM in Kona, and Jack Winter came to speak. And when I saw his name, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is it. You know? And I was amazed at his teaching, and I was amazed at what happened when he prayed, because it was basically in those days he would teach for like 3 days, and then the fourth day he would pray for people, and stuff would shake loose enormously. It was so beautiful, and lots of tears, you know, the towel on the shoulder, and buckets of tears.
Wow.
I just didn't want to share one story with you. You'll love this. There was a man in our school who had grown up with, I guess, probably the most miserable father story that you've ever heard. Mm. Just terrible. And he was also the South Pacific judo champion.
Wow.
And he was built like a rock. And Jack had us hold hands with each other and look each other in the eye. And I'm 5'6", so this guy's like... we're looking each other in the eye and singing, "Yes, Father loves you."
Mm.
Yes, Father loves you. And what came over this guy's face is this look of murder. Huh. And he was absolutely capable physically.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, at first I felt scared. And then I realized, this is Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And then I felt full of, and I just kept deeply looking into his eyes and saying, "Yes, Father loves you. Yes, Father loves you." And then suddenly he collapsed. And he was in a revelation of Father for the rest of the day and all that night. So maybe, I don't know, 15 hours of revelation.
Wow.
In the middle of that floor. We just put blankets on him. And he got up the next morning and wrote a letter to his father, who he probably never intended to ever speak to again.
Wow.
I think he was escaping his father. That was, you know, we all have different motives behind getting into missions or ministry or whatever. I think his inner motive was getting away from his father. He wrote a letter to his father and said, "Father, I love you. I've forgiven you for everything. And I love you because you are my father."
Wow.
That was my initiation to Jack Winners. And then we went on staff at that school, so we had two more sessions. And we did have him stay at our house for a time. And I learned just a lot just by connecting. And then when we came back from Wyoming, we joined a Lutheran church, which was much to my utter surprise, you know. But it was because they had a YWAM connection. And it was a mega church. And they used to send me out to do Holy Spirit events at churches and stuff and around the world, I guess. And they were sending me to Eastern Europe. This is right after the fall of the wall.
Mm.
And so I was going into East Germany.
Mm.
And the one thing I sensed was that there was so much devastation in terms of Father.
Mm.
You know, because there had been, like, especially in some of these cities, so much spying,
yeah,
and intrigue and people going to prison and alcoholism. And I really felt the Lord wanted me to carry the Father message. So I called Jack up because he lived not far from me.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, you probably don't remember me from because he speaks all over the world at that time. And he said, "No, David, I do. Come to my house." So he met me at the door and locked me in this intense bear hug and said, "David, I have to impart to you a gift for this ministry before you go." And that honestly was like one of the greatest treasures of my life. And frankly, my wife and I have ministered to hundreds and hundreds, you know. Sometimes we speak in groups about the Father, Heart of God, especially in YWAM schools, but mostly just in our living room. Hundreds and hundreds of people over the years have come through our door for that, and it's so sweet.
Wow. That's amazing, because, of course, you know, when I heard that you were from Minnesota, and of course, knowing Jack and Dorothy were in Minnesota,
yeah,
for a season before they moved to California, I kind of went, "Oh, I wonder." I did. And then when you told,
yeah,
me of your connection with Jack, and then, you know, you getting a hug, like I got a hug that changed my life.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh,
yeah,
no wonder, you know, there is this sense of connection that,
right,
that's at a very, very heart level, you know, because we,
amen,
and, you know, because we have the same dad, right? And same,
right,
big brother, Jesus. And so,
amen,
it's, yeah, it's amazing. So can you tell us a little bit about your life? I know you've done a lot of, like,
right,
you've done missions work, you've traveled different,
right,
places.
Right.
Maybe,
right,
just anything that you'd want to share.
Well, yeah, I've traveled a lot, mostly for business, mostly to China, but everywhere. For instance, we started a vaccine company in India and publishing companies and conferences in China. And lived in Indonesia, started a bioplastics company there. I've just done a lot of things. Wherever we go, though, we've had opportunities to do Jesus stuff.
Yeah.
And introduce people to Papa. yeah. One of the things for me, I often see people through Father's eyes, and what that often means is I see some of the things that happen to them. And very often the Lord doesn't release us to actually say it to them. But what it does is it kind of breaks our heart with Father's own heart. Basically, I'm seeing this person through your eyes now. I don't know. I mean, I kind of like to share one example, but I also don't want to just keep talking and talking.
No, this, please do. Please do.
All right. So I was working downtown in a big fancy office building doing all kinds of interesting stuff. And I was walking home in my mortgage banker's costume, you know, your three-piece wool suit with my briefcase. And I was walking home from the bus stop, and I was crossing an intersection, and I was sure I heard my name. I was like, what? So I looked all around. I didn't see anybody, and I thought, you think that was an angel? I was like, probably not. So I just stood in the middle of the intersection. I couldn't move because I thought, God is up to something. And then it turns out a friend of mine popped out of the house. I was a block from my house, from one of my neighbor's house, just randomly. He says, come in here. I was like, what am I doing? So I sat there, and there was all kinds of people I didn't know. And my friend said, just tell this people what God is doing. So I just started sharing. And then they said, pray for this guy. It was a really big guy. And I was like, I don't know why I'm here, but I laid hands on him. And suddenly he went like airborne. I mean, he was like hit by the power of the Holy Spirit so hard that he, I mean, that was like almost scary. I mean, the whole house shook when he landed. And the Lord suddenly showed me his life story. And I was like, wow, okay, so. And I looked, and everybody in the house just disappeared. And me and this guy in the middle of the living room floor in a house I'd never been to. So I was like, Lord, what do I do? And I'll just tell this guy what I was seeing. And the Holy Spirit said, nothing. Just pray Father's love over him. So I just prayed love, love, love in waves and waves. And the guy was completely unconscious, and everybody in the house had left. So I was like, I'm going home. So I just walked home. And my phone rang, and my friend called and said, actually, the woman I was with had called me to come and protect her because that man you prayed for was her ex-husband. And she was afraid he was going to steal the children. And so when he was under the power of the Lord, they fled. And they went to another house, and they were calling me from that house. And I said, brother, I got the strangest thing. I had this, like, I could see this man's whole life story while he was on, basically while he was midair. You know? And I don't know why God showed that to me. And he put the woman on the phone. And he said, you tell her. And I felt like, well, you know, I don't really know. I mean, this is just what I was seeing. So I just told her everything. And it just cut her to the quick. Because those are exactly the wounds that had made her ex-husband what he had become. All those things that I shared were exactly what happened. And then her heart opened.
Wow.
Because she had never known. This is like a simple fact that we all take for granted, that Father intimately is acquainted with all the things that happen to us.
Mm.
But to her, it was like a vivid, like, I can't deny that, you know, kind of a moment. So then she just said, David, you've totally won my heart. I mean, her heart had just like gone from "I don't believe" to "Father knows me. Jesus is reaching me." And so she was just ready, you know. So I said, "Put Mike back on the line." So I said, "Mike, just lead her in a prayer now." Because it's interesting that the Lord showed me but didn't want me to say it to the man. He just wanted me just to pray that love over him. But it was for the wife. And I've had maybe that same experience maybe 1,000 times.
Wow. Now, like one of the things that when we talked about the prophetic, that certainly you would move in the prophetic. And it's, you know, oftentimes, you know, when we think of kind of, certainly when I was a younger Christian, when you would think you'd walk into a prophetic meeting,
you'd be terrified. They were weird, weren't they?
Because you'd worried that somebody would just, you know, call you out.
Expose everything. Yeah. Right. And that's just not like Father, is it? It's not like him. No. He's so sweet and gentle. And so we've learned to be more like that.
Yeah.
Usually the Lord will show us a lot, and we say just a little. I'll just share one other story. We have a spiritual son, and the Lord is showing me a lot, and the only thing he said to me was, "Tell him to go home and cry with his mother."
Wow.
And I was like, "Wow, that's brilliant!" It's like, you know, I mean, only the Lord could think like that.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Because the rest of us, if we have information, a lot of times we want to use it in ways that make sense to us, but that's because we don't have the, well, you know, the heart and the mind of God are united inside Him, but not so much for us. A lot of times we have ideas, and a lot of those are religious ideas. And so we end up sometimes making the mistake of saying something that makes sense to us religiously, without having that united burden, that sweet thing that Father's carrying for somebody, you know, as opposed to just information. And you know what? I think if we would like emphasize on, "I want to experience all the sweet things you're feeling about this person, Lord," even if I get no prophetic information, this is enough.
Yeah.
But when you get both, because you've been experiencing, you're willing to be, like Jack Winter used to say, "I can go as deep in my ministry as I'm willing to carry the brokenness of God." That's what he told me that one time.
Wow.
And I was like, blew my mind, right? But that struck me because prophetic gifts, if they're sweet with the presence of the Lord, they're different. And I mentioned this other one to you, Barry, and you can redirect me or stop me anytime.
No, bring it on.
Okay. We used to be a part of a mega church, like 10,000 people, and I would very often have a prophetic word for somebody, and they got sweeter and sweeter and sweeter the less I said. I remember this one time this woman came for prayer, and we were holding hands, and I looked her in the eye and I said, "I'm going to prophesy to you, but I'm not going to use any words."
Wow.
And I just let that love just start breaking into her.
Wow.
And she heard everything from God, and I didn't open my mouth. To me, that is so beautiful. I remember I felt I had a prophetic word for somebody, and it was very, very dramatic and a little bit difficult. And I shared it with them, and it turns out I thought, "Oh man, I don't know if I should have done that," you know, because it dealt with some things that were really going on. But one of her pastors called me and said, "I just want you to know, that was exactly right and exactly what was going on." Now, the next week, I happened to randomly see her in another city. It was just a random thing. And I was sitting at a table with a dozen people, and she said, "I want to tell you what Jesus did for me last week." And she told the story of the prophetic word I'd given her. And I was sitting right at the table, and she didn't even notice me. And what I loved about that was it really was the word of the Lord.
Wow.
So that I became invisible. And that's what we really, that's beauty.
Yeah.
Because we want them to see the sweetness of the Lord. And it's better if we become a little invisible in that case, if we can. Doesn't always work out that way.
Yeah, that is so cool. Well, when we were talking about just your life, and like, of course, you said that a lot of your travels have been through business, yes? But
yeah.
This revelation of sonship. And of course, you know, as I mentioned at the beginning of, you know, just your book, The Culture of Heaven, right? And just the experience and the revelation that you were given, because I remember in our Zoom conversation when somebody asked you what's next, right? I think I forget in a ministry context or whatever, what is God doing next? And then you had a bit of a download, right?
Right. I mean, and it was kind of a deep download because it covered a lot of the things that have really broken the heart of the Lord, you know, things with native peoples and races and stuff like that. But the first and most important thing I felt the Lord was saying to me was, and I just use my own words, like, this is not like me prophesying, this is me just speaking how I have internalized this.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, in the 1730s or so, really the evangelical movement was born, where people had a revelation that they could know Jesus personally. And then that revelation just continued through all those centuries. And then, as you know, we were part of like this Lutheran Holy Spirit revival, you know, in the 60s, really. It spread through a lot of denominations, and sometimes people call it the charismatic revival. And that was a revelation, really, that we could have a personal relationship with Holy Spirit. And that blew our minds. And but what I believe the Father is doing right now, and is really, really, really important, is Jesus is continuing his mission of Jesus said, nobody knows the Son except the Father. Nobody knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom he reveals Father. And I believe Jesus is on a very intentional mission to reveal his Father in personal ways. I don't mean theological ways. I mean a saturating baptism. Romans 5:5, saturating baptism, where you have such a revelation of Father that you can't continue life the way you did before. And I believe Jesus is on a Jesus is he's so intentional about fulfilling all that Father wants him to fulfill. And one of the things he's doing is worldwide. He is personally revealing Father so that we can cling to him and go through things. You know, and I think, you know, we talk about a glory coming into the church. I think that glory is really God's personal presence.
Mm.
I do believe it will have miracles, and it is having miracles all over the world in an extraordinary measure. I mean, we couldn't even contain, if we were to hear it, the testimonies of what Jesus is doing around the world right now. We couldn't contain it. Yeah. It would just totally blow our mind. Thank the Lord that his mind is so infinite. But it's personal. It's, here's my Abba. You know, when Jesus said, okay, I'm preaching now, brother.
You keep doing it. No, you're on a roll.
Okay.
Keep going.
Yeah, like John 17:26. You know, one thing about Jesus which is so extraordinary, beautiful, the things that are his absolute personal treasure. Before the foundation of the world, he was the darling of heaven. The absolute darling of Father's eyes. And he said in John 17:26, Lord, I want you to love them with the love you have loved me from before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, if you were, you know, like a lot of times there's like a big brother, everybody's super proud of them, and the whole family's proud of them. And all the other siblings are like, oh, you know, they always like Tommy, you know. But Jesus is like, I have all a father's affections, and I'm so eager to share it with everyone in the world. I want father's affections to rest on them, and for them to experience it, and to be baptized in a saturating baptism of father's love, such that they can't even contain it. That's I think Jesus is like totally on a mission there, you know, like when he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. You know, it's not just his mission to get people to heaven. It's his mission to get them back to their Abba.
Yeah.
And to be baptized in it until it begins to spill out. You know,
Yeah, one of the things the with doing what we've done the last, you know, 20, 23 years or so, you know, hearing from a lot of people from different cultures around the world, I really believe when you said John 14:6, I have the way, the truth, the life, no one comes to the Father but through me, and then his disciples Thomas and Philip in verse 8 say, show us the Father, and it will be enough. And I really believe that that's the cry of the human heart, is that each and every person, whether they know it or not, that we're created to be fathered by God. And so thankful Amen. That Jesus said in verse 9, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Amen. 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 That's it. You said it. And Jesus is not casual about that mission.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't mean to say look like that.
Yeah, no.
I was just starting feeling excited, you know. Anybody who would face the cross has a dreadful purpose, a powerful, intentional purpose. And we know what that purpose was, to reveal us into his Father and to share that with us. And when they said, Lord, show us the Father, it'll be enough for us, that's a fact.
Yeah.
It is.
Absolutely.
It is.
So tell, you know, if you don't mind, like, you know, when we were talking before and this idea of sonship, you know, I think that in the days that we're living in now, I think the more that we come into the revelation of being sons and daughters, and of course, sonship is not a masculine term. It's the spirit of the son. In Christ, there's neither male nor female. So, but this idea of the spirit of sonship, in that we are beginning to walk as sons and daughters on planet Earth, where God begins to anoint us, not in just a Levitical priesthood way, but in a way that he anoints everything that we touch. You know, and I think, you know, when we were talking, and of course, you know, I was just so moved by how God has used you and is continuing to work through you in the realm of business, and how, not like you said, when you've lived in these other places, it's not like you were there necessarily as a missionary, but as a son whom the Father loved, just missions happened, right? So.
Right.
Is there anything you'd want to share about kind of that and.
Yeah, actually, let me just pick one.
Yeah.
Okay, because I have a lot of things that, you know, I feel like the Lord has given me boldness, because I think that's actually part of spirit of sonship too.
Yeah.
You know, to you know, Father told Jesus, ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. And that, I mean, that's part of our inheritance too.
Yeah.
Is part of Jesus. So, you know, that boldness ought to be growing in us. But I will share one, and I think I shared this with you, Barry. I have had on my heart that to break the spiritual bondage that's related to corruption, especially over the country of Indonesia. And so I was headed to a conference in Jakarta where Bill Johnson and the guy who did the Passion translation, Simmons?
Brian Simmons, yeah.
Yeah. And they were going to be speaking, and it was near where we used to live. And I felt like the Lord was telling me, I want you to come with a plan for how to resolve corruption in the country. And it's like, well, you know, kind of like, Lord, I don't know where to start. Bam, I got a download. I wrote the plan, and I was like, wow, this is beautiful, because it was so redemptive. You know, it just had the thumbprints of God on it. So then I felt like the Lord said, call your friend and ask for a meeting with the president. And I'm like, you know, that's like not a small country, you know. Yeah. That's like 250 million people. So I did, and the guy was like, you're kidding. I said, no, we need to see the president. And he was really serious. Well, he asked the president for a meeting for us. And so the day after the conference, I went to the meeting. Now, the president didn't show up, but the chief of staff and the head of the corruption police were there. And they were mad, because, like, what is this pretense that this guy thinks we're world's experts in this topic and we've made no real progress? Why would this guy think he has anything to offer? And two hours into the discussion, everybody started, like, just looking at each other. And they said, we don't have any other plan. This is the only plan.
Wow.
And then they, you could tell the wheel started to turn. Like, how did this guy come up with this? Like, what? So they asked me straight out. Now, this was like a difficult moment, because some of these people were kind of very, very, very devoted to Islam in the meeting. And so I didn't say the whole thing. This came from Abba Father, who's watching over Indonesia. I didn't say that, because it was like, it would have like blown up the whole thing. So, but I did say, indirectly say that. But I also knew that everyone in the room knew. Everyone in the room knew by my answer that I was really saying, Father gave this as a gift to your country.
Wow.
So anyway, I mean, we're still kind of working on that, but it's tough. But I think I've had that experience a number of times, because the Lord doesn't just care about us as individuals. I know that that's kind of like at the core of his heart, but he cares about our clans and our families and our neighborhoods and our countries and our cultures as well. And, you know, some things, like, I held for years in prayer. And what happens is your heart kind of gets molded, you know, a little bit. Like, Lord, what is it that you care about this people group? And over time, it just kind of, like, soaks in.
Wow.
You kind of get a little thumbprint on your heart. You know, as to what God is carrying for people. And sometimes maybe it takes 20 years before there's some, like, we had this event called the Dakota Honoring. The Dakota people are, like, very important people that, you know, were kind of like the original people of Minnesota, and they suffered huge disasters. It was just a huge disaster. And, you know, so just in carrying that with Father, I do think that there's one of the pathways to his heart is being willing in a small way, because we're small and we're very fragile. But if we can carry some small part of his burden for a people, or, you know, then anyway, we eventually had this Dakota Honoring thing, and I asked our governor to write a letter apologizing for everything that happened. And months went by, and I just couldn't get anything out from the governor. And finally, there was a breakthrough. His office called me and says, we don't know what to write. Would you write the letter for us? So I was able to write this prophetic word
Wow.
Like exactly what the governor needed to say.
Wow.
And when I read it to the group of Dakota people, they were from actually from their siblings or their cousins from Canada and I think 13 states. They all came for this event. And when I read the governor's repentance and spoke the word, it just broke. And I was, you know, I mean, so this was really, really sweet. But I carried that in my heart for decades until that moment opened up where we could really give full public expression to what wow. the Lord was thinking. It was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful moment.
Wow. So when you talk about the culture of heaven, and of course I know the book is very, you know, there's different chapters and of course you've got different teachings. Like when you think about where we're going, right? What is
right.
the Father's heart for family, right. for belonging, for right. culture? Where in your heart? I mean, I know it's, you know, it's a lot to say in a little bit of time, but where do you feel we're going? You know, yeah. as a church, as even the world, right. what is God's heart for the entire planet? You know,
right, right, exactly. I feel like the deep longing of God is to give family, true family expression, and part of that means that we become genuine family of each other. You know, because there is something that breaks open a special blessing when, you know, because the Lord is really jealous for our brothers and sisters.
Mm.
And when we begin to love them with his eyes,
yeah.
you know, seeing their destiny, even they don't see it yet, but we can already see it. Oh, I know what Father's dreaming about you. There's something that happens in among us. That the church has really missed for maybe a few centuries. And I know we can have like really extraordinary Holy Spirit, powerful miracles involving healing and stuff like that. Because I've experienced that maybe a few thousand times. But when the heart of Father is united to supernatural stuff, it's like a whole different, it's like amplified.
Hmm.
It's so beautiful. You know, when it talks of, Jesus talks about like the church becoming beautified and dressed in white and stuff. That beauty is like the moon reflecting the sun.
Hmm.
You know, the moon is just so beautiful, like a full moon. But it's not its own light. It's the sun's
yeah.
light. And so I think that the culture of the church is meant more and more to reflect the heart of God. And even like, you know, we're going through all this stuff where there's like tension between politics and stuff like that. We need to have the heart of Jesus for our leaders.
Mm.
And overlook their offenses. That doesn't mean we still don't stand for righteousness, you know, and pray for righteousness. But it's like, okay, like in the U.S., we have this woman who's kind of notorious. Her name is Nancy Pelosi. And one time Jesus confronted me and said, "You don't have my heart for Nancy. You hate her." And I was like, yeah. And basically I knew the gig is up. He's going to correct me. He's going to confront me. And the thing is that I started to love Nancy Pelosi because I saw the true destiny that Father had dreamt for her when he made her.
Mm.
And so I'm not that crabby about her anymore. You know what I mean? I feel softness in my heart for her, even though she's like wants to do all kinds of things that are actually kind of terrible.
Mm.
I feel softness in my heart
wow.
towards her. So I could meet her with no hatred.
Mm-hmm.
I could embrace her and say, "I know what Father dreamt when he brought you into the world."
Wow.
And that's I think the culture needs to embrace, get into the church.
Yeah.
And we still need power and still need miracles and we still need all this, but that is beauty.
Yeah.
that is beauty. You know, and like in the Hebrew, it like talks about holiness and glory and beauty. Those three are like three corners of a single triangle. Mm. They're almost all the same. You know, God's beauty, His glory. I mean, the angels don't keep worshiping because it's their job. Mm. It's because they're standing in the presence of unfolding beauty.
Yeah.
And they can't help but say, glory, glory. It's spontaneous for them because they see this unfolding beauty. Yeah. And the Lord is inviting us into that, and it's meant to change the culture of the church. So wow. We have this beautiful love, even for our enemies. I've just been thinking so much about the story of Malchus. It's actually in all four Gospels. There's not many stories that are in all four Gospels. But I like this. Jesus was being taken away unjustly. But before he goes, he stops and picks up an ear off the ground and puts it back on Malchus. And it's like, okay, let's go, Malchus. You're taking me. I'm going with you.
Wow.
He had that heart. It's like, you can be my enemy, and there's nothing but love. I'm going to heal your ear, dude. You know? Wow. I always wondered, why is that story in there? But I started to see the beauty of Jesus.
Yeah.
In the middle of that story. It's like, I already know, Malchus, your future. Hmm. I can see it in my mind already. In fact, Malchus, I'm going to go die for you.
Wow.
Because I can already see your destiny, even though you have no idea what's coming. I think that's what the Lord wants to do in the church.
Hmm.
Next, and to beautify the church and clothe her in white through giving us his heart and mind. And that is the culture of heaven. I mean, it's a real culture. It's a real place that you and I are going to spend eternity in. And it has a culture. That culture just like emerges out of God's beautiful, beautiful thoughts.
Mm. Well, when you think of, you know, when you were talking about having God's heart for other people and having even, I love when you said that, you know, the dream of God for every person on the planet, right? There, he has had a dream for every person. And, you know, and I think of how, you know, Jesus said, as the Father loved me in that same way, yes, I have loved you. And then he said, love one another as I have loved you. And it's this, it's, you know, and of course, even just the, you know, the second half of the Great Commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And it's the whole idea that I think, you know, sometimes we struggle with is believing that the Father had a dream for us.
Right, right. We got that orphan scarcity thing going.
Yeah.
You know? A couple of months ago, I was driving somewhere and I was really anxious and I was feeling that orphan scarcity thing. And Father spoke to me almost out loud and said, son, you're thinking like an orphan right now.
Yeah.
And then I just like paused and I'm like, yeah, I am. And he said, I'm right here. I'm with you. And my anxiety level just went, it's like, that's right, Daddy's with me.
Mm.
You know, I had the thought, I have to do all this by myself. I have to make it happen.
Mm.
And I became very much of an orphan.
Mm. Yeah, I think sometimes how I can describe myself is sometimes I forget. You know, and, you know, of course, you know, in the Old Testament, especially, God would always say, write it down. Like, don't forget, write it down. And then he would remind people of who he was. And I think, you know, sometimes it's when we, you know, we forget who we really are and how much we're loved, right? That's when fear comes or anxiety comes. And then, oh, what was I thinking? You know, and it's just, I think that's where the Father just invites us home, and he's always there running towards us, and he just pours out his love on us. So, any other things on your heart that you want to share before we wrap up?
I have this T-shirt that I wear that's like in Arabic. Interesting thing is, when people see it, sometimes they feel angry because they're, you know, angry about some feeling threatened by Islam. But I point right at the center. I say, see this word? Look, is it's in bigger writing. That's the word Abba.
Wow.
This is the Lord's Prayer.
Oh, wow.
And then they all of a sudden just melt towards the word. And I think what's beautiful is that that is in the center, isn't it?
Hmm. Wow. I just feeling that, just that sense. kind of like the exclamation point. Yeah, it's like Abba. Yeah. And maybe we could spend a bit of time praying for people, if that's okay. Anything on your heart, heart to pray, for people who, there's people watching online now, and there's going to be, more people even watching afterwards. Mm-hmm. But, I think, for me, when I hear what you say, and when you just say that Abba has a dream for every one of us from the foundation of the world, and do we really know that? And, I think, the cry of our heart is to know that, right? Even when Jesus said in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. And just the knowing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the intimacy of being loved by the Trinity, and that we are in the community of love, and the Father is revealing the Son, and the Son reveals the Father, and the Holy Spirit is bringing a revelation of both Father and Son. And yeah, so I don't know if there's anything on your heart to pray, but I just I even think of just the kingdom, the Lord's Prayer that says, "Your kingdom come," right? That culture of heaven, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I think that's the cry of not only our heart, but it's the Father's heart, and in the heart of Jesus, to bring a manifestation of His presence on planet Earth. So
I go back to what Jesus said. Just give me a second here. Sorry. I just felt like just touched by the Lord, so I just couldn't speak. Well, He said He could reveal Father to us, and I know that was His intention. What a blessing. What a blessed thought. What a blessed thought that He intends to reveal Father to us.
Yeah.
And, I've experienced that with people who didn't even know that God existed. Mm. But in about 20 minutes, they could totally know and feel and experience it because He spoke to them.
Yeah.
And I just... Dear Daddy, we just ask for everybody on this Facebook Live for that saturating baptism. I know we can't give what we don't have, so give it to us. Give it to us in abundance until it's overflowing. Until it's overflowing. Show us Your heart so that when you just meet people, we immediately know what You're thinking.
Mm.
And now I'm just seeing people who, Father was dreaming a dream over their family, even before they were born, and over their clan, going back generations. He was carrying a dream, and now they have the chance to live, to give that to Father, because they have that heart-to-heart connection. That's what was missing in the generation before, and the generation before that, and the generation before that. The Lord has never changed His mind about His dream for their clan and for their family and for themselves. But now that they have a living, secure attachment with Daddy, they can give Jesus this peace of what He died for. that the Lamb may receive the full reward of his sufferings.
Wow.
There's something that's been on Father's heart for generations, that Jesus died to bring it to happen. But because you have a living, secure attachment with Abba Daddy, he can begin to bring that to life in you. And generations that will follow you will manifest the destiny that the Lord has been waiting to see in your clan.
Wow.
I just see some of the people who are on this call, I just see that some of them have a clan destiny to be like spiritual warriors. But you know how Jesus warred? He went to the cross.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's with this servant heart. And I see some of the people that are in the call who are given a destiny to have a warrior spirit, but the kind that Jesus had. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'll go to the cross for you kind of warrior.
Yeah.
I just see that. And, you know, I just see mothers on this call, too. I just see them showing what God is really like, not just to their own children, but to their own children. But I see people who are mothers of neighborhoods on this call. And I just see, as Jesus begins revealing all that's in Father's heart, like, remember where the Bible says that he was like a nursing mother? And,
yeah.
And even Paul said, when I was with you, I was like a nursing mother.
Yeah.
I see that gift on a number of the women that are on this call. I see that gift for their neighborhood. That they will have a beating mother's heart for the people around them.
Yeah.
Like Paul had for the Thessalonians. A beating mother's heart that they get from God.
Yeah.
For the people around them. That's a beautiful, beautiful revelation I'm seeing for some of the mothers on this call. Spiritual mothers. And I do see this urgent need for us to just, if we even have a handful of people that we father and mother with the heart of God, we will change the world.
Mm.
Even if we can only pick one or two, we'll change the world that way.
Yeah. Wow.
I feel the earnestness of God. You know, God can be really serious sometimes.
Mm.
I feel the earnestness of God saying, I want you to share my heart. Why? Because my heart is going out to those people already. And if we do it together, my heart will be expressed through you. People starving, even they look on the outside like they're like professional people, you know, a lot of them are just starving inside. And they're looking just like you said, Barry. They want Abba.
Mm-hmm.
They want him. And I know Abba wants them. That's a beautiful thought.
Yes, absolutely. Wow.
Man.
Yeah, amen to that, my brother. I think that's the cry of all of our hearts, right? Is just to go deeper and there's so much more. And of course, you know, I'd love to pick up this conversation another time with you about just the practical application of sonship, you know, in culture and society. Like you said, you talked about even the reconciliation with the First Nations that you talked about. And there's so much of that. How can people get your book? Is there a way they can get it?
Well, it's on Amazon and Barnes & Nobles, or they can go to Salem Publishing. That's the people who actually published it.
Oh, okay.
And just, they should probably look up my name, you know, when they combined with the title, because,
right.
You know, I know, like, there's a lot of other people who, like, Bill Johnson's written a lot about the culture of heaven.
Yes.
So I'm probably about 50 books down the list, you know, behind it. The first 50 books of Bill Johnson. I'm joking, you know.
Yeah.
You have to add my name if you're going to find it. I would like it if people read the book, because I feel this is a word for the family.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, and you also have your teachings on YouTube.
Sure.
And that's, if you just, because I just wanted to see the YouTube address, so I have it. It's one of these long, you know, all these, numbers and everything else. But if they type in the culture of heaven in the search.
I should come up pretty near the top.
Yeah, you came up on top when I did the culture of heaven. So, and can you talk just a little briefly about those videos? There's what, is there 12?
11.
11, sorry.
11 videos. And, you know, so I am talking about heaven's culture as a real place.
Yeah.
And how Father wants to enculturate the church with his dreams.
Yeah.
You know, so we can kind of like let go of all of our perspectives and take a different perspective on.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would encourage you guys to look at those as well. And of course I love them. I've listened to them all and really enjoyed them. So, well, David, that hour flew by. Thank you so much for coming, my brother. It's just been a blessing to just know you in a deeper way than, you know, just email the transfers that we've had. And I trust that there's going to be more. Like I always say that, when I speak at, different places or schools, whether I just say to the people, you're not going to get rid of me too easily because you're stuck with me forever. So
right.
I'm guessing that, I don't know how it's going to work in eternity. I know from NASA's latest estimates, there's between 1 and 2 trillion galaxies in the known universe. So if we're going to rule and reign with Jesus forever, maybe we get a few galaxies each. I'm not sure. But I'm sure that whatever, throughout eternity, if I fly over to your galaxy, we'll be just revelating again and how much Abba loves us and how much Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And he is just our brother. And that's so awesome. So, yeah, thanks, everybody. For any last words, or are you good? Anything, any other thoughts, parting before we go?
Well, I mean, I'm honored. Barry, I'm honored to be with you. You know, the fact that you noticed me as I'm sending my little encouragements, that was like, to me, because you've impacted so many millions of people around the world with your message. And that's really, and I'm not just honored to be with you, but the people on the call, I wish I could see their faces, but I feel kinship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel real kinship with the people, that are here.
Yeah. Well, thanks for those kind words. And we truly are brothers and sisters, and it's the more that we are able to realize how much we're loved by our dad and how much Jesus is just the lover of our soul and our big brother, and just how the unity of the Spirit, right? It's just like, well, I just think amen to this, and may, everything that's in your heart for the culture of heaven, may the reality of that culture of heaven come to earth as it is in heaven. So amen to that. Amen. And thanks everybody for coming. And for those who want to watch this again, we will have it recorded on Vimeo. It will probably be there within the hour, Lord willing, depending on my internet speed. But for those who are around for next week, Mark Jide will be back with us. He's just wrapping up his week in Poland, teaching a Father Heart Polish school. So again, thanks, David. You're a blessing, my brother. Hopefully we can do this again. So see everybody.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.